One of the concepts in Christianity that scared me when I was growing up was the whole idea of sacrifice. And that's what I want us to talk about a little bit this morning. We're not going to, probably won't even stay the whole time. Some of you look kind of sleepy, and I know I'm a little bit sleepy. But I want us to talk a little bit about sacrifice. And before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll jump into yet another real fascinating passage in the life of Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you again for the beauty and for this week and for the rest and the relaxation. And I pray, Father, as we wind down our time and as we come to the end of this week, that you would solidify in our hearts what we've heard, solidify in our minds what we've heard from you specifically. I pray that we would go back refreshed, that we would go back motivated, maybe with a little different perspective on our lives and on what you've called us to. I pray, Father, that those that came discouraged would leave encouraged and just excited about what you're doing in their life. I pray that you give us another safe day. You've been so incredibly good to us when we think of all the things that could have happened, and yet you've protected us and taken care of us, and we are grateful for that. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak through me clearly and that your Holy Spirit would take these things and apply them to our heart. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Sacrifice. When I was young and I became a Christian when I was about 6 years old, and I remember that time specifically, it wasn't long after that I realized that to become a Christian and to be a Christian and to be obedient to the Lord would require some sacrifice in my life. And you can probably remember too, if you were saved when you were young, what an awful thought that was, because there were so many things we wanted and so many things I wanted to be involved in, and yet I knew as I read through Scripture, Jesus Christ required some sacrifice. Now, we love to sing about His sacrifice, died on the cross for our sins and lived a sinless life and lived a perfect life so that He could be the spotless Lamb, and we love to sing about the sacrifice Christ made. But when it comes to our making a sacrifice for Him, a lot of times that's a very scary thought. And immediately we begin thinking about all that we have done for Him and all the sacrifices that we have made that hopefully, you know, it'll kind of balance out in the end. And even though there are some things that maybe God would demand of us that we don't want to do, we immediately focus on what we have done and we think that maybe in the mind of God it all balances out and we can get by without making some sacrifices that maybe He wants us to make. And then to make matters worse, there were some passages of Scripture that I just didn't like, because when I would read them, they were sort of depressing to me because they demanded so much. And one of those I want us to look at this morning in Luke chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 9, and I'll try to read it to you. The lights up here are terrible for reading, but anyway, we'll make it through there. Luke chapter 9, I'll give you a little bit of context. Jesus has just finished going through some things with the disciples, and He sits them down and He says, guys, here's the game plan. Listen carefully. Let me give you an overview, He says, of what's going to happen from here on out in our time together. So they sit down and, you know, they're thinking He's about to bring in the kingdom, maybe call down a few million angels and run Rome out and set Himself up as the king. So they're kind of excited. And He says, guys, let me tell you, let me just give you an overview now of what's going to happen the rest of our time together. He says, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer a lot of things. First, I'm going to get arrested. Then I'm going to be beat. And then they're going to kill me. Any questions? And they're looking at each other like, no, wait a minute. This isn't what we thought. We thought you're the Messiah. You're going to come set up this kingdom on earth. We're going to be on your left hand, your right hand. We're going to be your number one, number two through 12 guys, you know. I mean, we're going to be there beside you. This is going to be great. And Jesus says, no, let me tell you. I'm going to suffer a lot of things. I'm going to be arrested. And they're going to kill me. And then right after that, He says this. Look in verse 23. Right after He says that, He says, and He was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been one of those disciples, and Jesus had just told me, here's what's going to happen, I'm going to be arrested, they're going to kill me, follow me, I think I might have been just a little bit hesitant. What about you? But Jesus understood that. And again, this is one of those verses that we think, deny myself, take up my cross daily, and follow you. Lord, do you realize that you're asking me to write a blank check with my life? It's kind of like the person who walks up to you and says, will you do me a favor? And you say, well, what is it? Well, will you do it? And there's that awful sense of, well, I'd like to do you a favor, but let's get it out on the table. But Jesus says to his disciples, as he says to us, hey, before I tell you what, I want to know, will you? Before I tell you where, I want to know, will you? Before I tell you what it's going to be like, will you? Are you willing to write a blank check and hand it to me? See, when I was growing up, I was so afraid. Surely, if I said, God, here's my whole life, that he'd send me off to the mission field somewhere, or, you know, he'd do something dreadful, I'd have to marry an ugly girl, and, you know, all kind of things that God would just do to me. And sometimes we think that God is kind of looking up, waiting in heaven, just waiting for us to say, here's my whole life, so he can go, now I've got you. Sometimes we have that attitude. So here's what Jesus says to them. Let's look at this carefully. Verse 23, I can't read. And he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, that is, if you want to follow me, Jesus says, this is what you have to do. Number one, you have to deny yourself. And what that means, and what the grammar here in the original language means, is that you need to make a once and for all decision. And as he was saying to them, he would say, right now, guys, where you sit, and if he was here today, he would say, right now, where you sit, you need to decide once and for all to deny yourself. Now, let me tell you what that means. That doesn't mean go hold up in a monastery somewhere and eat lettuce and drink water the rest of your life and wear a funny robe. That's not what he's talking about. When Jesus says, I want you to deny yourself, he simply means this. There will come time when you want to do A, and I will want you to do B, and you must deny what you want to do and do what I want to do. There will be times when you will want to go into business with this group, and I will say, no, I want you to go into business with this group, and you'll have to deny what you want to do and do what I ask you to do. There will be times when you think for sure you've met the person you want to marry, and this is the one for you, and I'll say that isn't the one for you, and you will have to deny what you want and do what I want. There will be times when you don't want to work with the people you work with anymore because they're not Christians, and you want to work with Christians. And you'll say, Lord, I don't want to work with non-Christians, and I'll say to you, I want you to work with non-Christians. You will have to deny what you want and do what I ask you to do. Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, if you're going to come after me, then you need to decide once and for all that when there's a conflict of interest, that when you have what you want versus what I want, that you will deny yourself, that is, you'll simply say no to yourself and do what I have asked you to do. And he says, right where you sit, today, once and for all, you need to make the decision that when there's a conflict and when what you want conflicts with what I want, that you will go ahead and decide even before those decisions arise, I will always go with Jesus Christ. And he said, men, you need to decide. And as the Lord Jesus is here today, he says to me and he says to you, you need to decide, will you deny yourself? Then he goes on. He says, and take up your cross daily. That means that every morning, when you and I get up, we decide today, based on the decision I made the other day, I will deny myself. Now, you see, this is threatening to us. But if you think it was threatening to us, imagine those poor disciples. And Jesus had the nerve to say, take up your cross. Now, when we think cross, you know what we think? We think Hollywood cross. You know, we think of all the movies we've seen with these guys carrying these nicely carved crosses, and they look like they're in pain. There's a little blood splattered here and there. But you see, these guys had seen things we will never see. They had seen bodies who had hung out in the weather for days and days. They'd seen that. And excuse me for being gross, they had smelled that. They had been around that. They understood in a very real, hands-on way what it meant to die on a cross. And Jesus said, I want you to understand, on a daily basis, I want you to say no to yourself and yes to me. And he said, the best picture I can give you is a person who's taking up their cross, marching to the hill to die. That's what it's going to mean to follow me, guys. And again, the disciples must have looked at each other like, you know, I've really enjoyed our time together. I think this is where I go back home. I think this is where I'll take up fishing again. Lord Jesus, it's been a lot of fun, but you don't tell me you're going to go die and then ask me to follow you to die. And you see, that's where a lot of us are a lot of times. And some of you here are young and some of you here are older, but all of us have areas in our lives where we know maybe it's something that someone's spoken on this week. Maybe it's something that God's been laying on your heart for a long time saying, here's an area of your life I want. Here's something I want you to do. Here's something I want you to give. I want you to begin involving yourself in the church more. I want you to be a deacon. I want you to teach a Sunday school class. And we think, but Lord, if I have to be committed every Sunday morning, I can't go to the lake whenever I want to. And Lord, if I have to be there every Sunday morning, I just can't pick up and go whenever I want. And Jesus says, I want you to deny yourself that pleasure and obey me on a daily basis. And then he says, and follow me. So here's the scenario. I want you to decide now, once and for all, to follow me. Number two, I want you on a daily basis to reaffirm that. And just number three, I just want you to do it and follow me, he says. Now, here's what's so great about God. He's so good. Jesus knew what chickens we were. And he knew what chickens those disciples were. Now, Jesus could have said, I'm God, just do it. And you know, how can we argue with that? That's how our parents were a lot of times growing up. Wouldn't I'm dad, just do it. Why? Because I'm your dad, just do it. God is not that kind of heavenly father. And Jesus understood the weakness of the disciples, and Jesus understands our weakness, and then in these next verses, he gives us three reasons why the most logical thing we could do and the most reasonable thing we could do would be to deny ourselves and follow him. Now look what he goes on to say. This is so great. If you have a New American Standard Bible, you'll notice that the next word in verse 24 is the word for. What that means is he's getting ready to give us a reason why it is that we should take him so seriously with such an amazing command. He says the first reason is this. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. So here's the mood, the tone of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, guys, don't leave yet. Wait. Everybody sit back down. Just wait. Now, before you freak out, before you go off the deep end thinking, deny myself, just listen. Think. Number one, anybody who desires to have all the pleasure, all the possessions, all the power in this life, the person who seeks to make this life their everything, he says eventually he's going to lose everything. The person who goes ahead and decides to deny themselves, to say no to themselves, to give up to some pleasure, to give up some possessions, to give up some potential opportunities and power in relationships, that person, when all is said and done, will save their life. Now, let me explain what he means by that. You see, to refuse to say no to myself and to always say yes to me and at times no to God essentially means that everything I will live for is in this life. Power, pleasure, possessions, relationships. To say no to myself and to say yes to God is to, in some sense, incorporate an eternal perspective. That all of a sudden I'm saying no to myself and yes to God, and I begin to live for eternity. And here's what Jesus says. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. And then specifically, two people die. The person that lived for themselves and the person that lived for Christ and denied themselves. Both, watch this, both people eventually die. Both people eventually lose their life. But only one life loses its meaning. And Jesus says, you don't have to deny yourself. You can go ahead and say yes to yourself over and over, but you need to understand the consequences. Because you can either deny yourself now, or you can lose everything you've lived for later. You can either deny yourself now, as painful as it may be, or you can refuse to do that and eventually lose everything you've lived for. Because the man or the woman who refuses to say no to themselves and yes to God is a person whose whole focus and the emphasis of their whole life is the here and now. And Jesus says, worst case scenario, best case scenario, either way, you are eventually going to die. And what that means about what you've lived for will be determined by whether or not you're willing to take the challenge and deny yourself. So Jesus says, you see, it's not as bad as you think. It may look bad on the surface. The whole idea of saying no to yourself and yes to God when you think about the sacrifice may look bad at first, but remember, you have the opportunity to sacrifice a little bit now and have something for eternity to show for it. or refuse to sacrifice a little bit now and eventually lose everything. You can deny yourself now, or you can lose everything later. And the picture he paints is a worst-case scenario. He says, even if you lose your life for my sake. Now, you know something? I don't know what's going to happen to most of us, but very few of us in this room are going to be taken to that extreme in our relationship with God. Very few of us are going to actually lose our physical life for the sake of Christ. Now, think about it. You know what he's asked? He's asked for us to simply deny ourselves in a few small areas, in relationships, business associations, our time, our weekends. He's asked us to make a few, deny ourselves in a few areas and guarantee ourselves for something for eternity versus refuse to deny ourselves and lose everything we've lived for later on. So Jesus says, you have to make a decision. But let me continue to give you reasons why what I'm asking you to do is the most logical thing you could do. Then he goes on. He says there's a second reason why you need to be willing to deny yourself. Verse 25 gives us a great illustration. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? He says, let me give you a best case scenario. He said, here's a guy who is so smart and so slick and so wise and so shrewd that at a very young age, he gains the whole world. That is, he's the most wealthy, the most powerful, the most influential man in the whole world. Now we think, there's no such person. Jesus says, I know there's no such person, but let's just pretend there is. Here's a guy that Donald Trump calls for advice. Here's a guy that the presidents and the kings of other countries call for advice. Here's a guy who has everything. Houses, cars, land, women, anywhere he goes, anything he wants. He's got everything. He has gained, Jesus says, and that means he didn't inherit it. This guy worked for it. He gained, he's the picture of success. He gained the whole world. He says, what does all of that profit him if when he dies, he loses or forfeits? Now watch what Jesus says. He doesn't say loses and forfeits his stuff. Jesus says, what does it profit him if he loses or forfeits himself? Here's what Jesus is saying. You see, if you refuse to deny yourself, and if you refuse to say no to yourself and yes to God in areas of pleasure and potential financial success or whatever it is in relationships, family, time, weekends, whatever it is, if you refuse to do that, then essentially here's what you do. Your identity, who you think you are, will be wrapped up in what you do in this life. Remember, if you heard David's testimony last night, it was so great. Talked about being a professional golfer. And you see, his identity was wrapped up in what he did. If you had walked up to him and say, who are you? He would have said, I'm Dave. I'm a professional golfer. What I do is who I am. And you see, the man or the woman who refuses to deny themselves eventually, whether they admit it or not, eventually their identity becomes wrapped up in what they're doing, in their position, in their power, in their pursuits, in their performance. That becomes their identity. And Jesus says this, what have you gained? And what profit is to a man who or a woman who spends their whole life working to become somebody and then they die? And on the other side, when all their performance and all their possessions and all of that is peeled away, what do you have? Jesus says, you have nobody. Because if all you are is what you've accomplished in that life, and since it counts for nothing in the next life, Jesus says, you've done far worse than lost some stuff. Jesus says, you have forfeited your very self. You've lost yourself. Who was somebody in this life becomes a nobody in the kingdom of God. And he says the man who had everything in that life but refused to deny himself is a nobody in the next life. And the question is, what did all that stuff and what did all that popularity and what did all that wealth really profit him in the long run? And the answer is nothing. So Jesus says, you see, you don't have to deny yourself. You can go ahead and live for pleasure and possessions and relationships. You can do that, but remember the consequences. You run the risk of losing everything, and you run the risk of losing yourself. Because who thinks there's somebody here? And the kingdom of God will be a nobody. And they have forfeited more than things. Jesus says they forfeited themselves. They have no eternal identity to speak of. And you know something? You know, this dude, God's so good, isn't he? He didn't just say, deny yourself, come on, I'm God. He said, think about it. Think in terms of an eternal perspective. And all of a sudden, what may seem like such a big sacrifice, and what may seem like such a big thing to give up, in light of eternity, and in light of the consequences of disobedience, they're really not such big things after all. But he goes ahead and he gives us a third reason. Verse 26, and this is tough. For whoever is ashamed, maybe a better word would be embarrassed. For whoever is embarrassed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed or embarrassed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. You know what Jesus says? Jesus understood that a man or a woman who refuses to deny themselves in this life is a person who has a very difficult time speaking out for Jesus Christ. And a person who has a difficult time denying themselves certain pleasures and certain pastimes and certain time and certain relationships in this life is a person that when put on the spot, chances are will downplay their religion and downplay their involvement in church and downplay Jesus Christ. It may be a person who feels pretty comfortable talking about church, but not a person who feels comfortable about speaking about Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to understand something before you make your decision. That a person who in this life, a Christian who is ashamed of me, he says, that when I return and when I set up my kingdom and when everything's over with, even though you're my child, I will be ashamed or embarrassed of you. You say, no, whoa, 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 whoa. I thought we were all equal in the eyes of God. Well, let me ask you this. Are you as equally proud of all your children? Have you ever had a child that was an embarrassment to your family? Have you ever had a child who accomplished great things and was faithful and someone you could talk about? Then you had another child who you said, well, yeah, that's my son, that's my daughter, and I love them, but they just haven't found themselves. I remember when I was young, my ambition in life, believe it or not, was to be a rock star. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a rock singer, musician. That's all I thought about. That's all I dreamed of all through high school. I wasn't a bad kid. I didn't take drugs and smoke and drink and all that. But I wanted to be a rock musician. And my dad was not very proud of me during that time. And people would say, well, what does your son want to do? And he'd say, well, Andy hasn't decided yet. And I'd say, yes, I have. And he goes, he hasn't decided yet. Because as much as he loved me, and understand, as much as he loved me, and as much as he accepted me, and as much as I was a part of his family, at that particular time, I was not the kid he wanted to hold up in front of everybody and say, see my son? He wants to be a rock musician. Look at his hair. Look at the clothes he wears. He was a little bit ashamed of me. He loved me unconditionally. But my performance was not what he desired. And you see, God has a lot of children, to be honest, that's what the scripture says, who he's embarrassed about. Who it would be better if they didn't tell people they were a follower of Christ. Who it would be better if they didn't tell people they attended your church or my church or that they were a Christian. And Jesus says this, you need to understand, that when all is said and done, and when I return, there will be Christians of whom I am ashamed. And I want you to know something. Regardless of where you stand today with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you stand in front of Him, you are going to want Him to be proud of you and your life and your works. And what Jesus says is this, you don't have to deny yourself. You can go ahead and live any way you please, but understand that you run the risk of losing everything. You run the risk of losing yourself. And you run the risk of forfeiting the honor and the glory I have for you. You run the risk, this is tough, of being an embarrassment to me when I come. I can remember in high school getting in trouble. I won't tell you what I did. It wasn't that bad. And the principal said he's going to call my dad. I told him I would rather that he call the police than call my dad. And I can remember sitting outside the principal's office in a chair out in the hall waiting for my dad to come, knowing that at any time he would walk up the stairs and he would walk around a corner and our eyes would meet. And his eyes would say, "Andy, I'm disappointed. I love you. Oh, you can come home and live in my house. But Andy, I'm disappointed." And the fear, you see, whatever it was I had done, and ever how fun it was, and ever how silly and neat I thought it was, all of that was behind me. And I would have done anything to go back and undo what I did. Not to have to face my father's eyes of disappointment. And my friend, whatever it is you're saying no to God about, and whatever it is, oh, it's too big of a sacrifice, God, I can't do this, I'll do all these other things, but I can't give this up, I can't do this, I can't go there, I can't get involved in that. None of that will be worth anything the day that you stand before the Lord and He has the opportunity to look at you with approval or disapproval, love, acceptance. But in terms of what you've done, and Jesus says, guys, disciples, I want you to deny yourself. There are going to be some things you have to sacrifice. There are going to be some areas that you have to give up. But understand that if you do, then you will have much to show for in your life. Number two, you won't have to give up your identity because who you are in me will become the focus not just for now but for eternity. And number three, there will be glory and honor awaiting you. But if you refuse to deny me, you'll give up everything eventually. You'll lose yourself eventually. And you'll lose the honor and the glory that I would like to have for you because I'll be ashamed of you. One last story and I'll quit. I like this story. It's true. Some people, after I tell the story, people ask me if it's true. And you can ask my dad, it's true. Sometimes preachers, I think, tell stories that aren't true. And I guess that's lying. So anyway, I try to tell true ones most of the time. When I was a freshman in college, a sophomore in college, it was September. It was right before college was about to start. There were just a few days of summer left. This was several years ago. And I was looking forward to the last couple of weeks before college started back, and I was going to lay out in the sun, just kind of goof around. I wasn't working at the time. And a big, huge dump truck came up our driveway and around to the back corner of our house one day, and I was watching, and this truck dumped a mountain of firewood into the driveway. And as my dad was leaving to go out the door and go out of town for a couple of days, he said, "Andy, I've got a job for you." And I said, "What?" As if I didn't know. He said, "I want you to stack this mountain of firewood beside the house in an orderly fashion, and I'll check and see how you did when I get home." And he got in a van with a friend of his, and they drove to the airport to leave. And I looked at what was literally a mountain of firewood, and I thought about what I had planned to do with those last few days before I started back to school, and I was very, very mad at my dad. Well, I put it off that whole day, and finally I went and got some gloves and started stacking firewood. And I mean, I was grumbling. I hated it. I kept thinking of all I was supposed to do, and people were calling and wanting to do things. And I said, "No, I got to stack firewood." They go, "Firewood? It's not even going to be cold for 3 months." That I know. I don't know why he does this. And so I'm over there stacking this firewood with the worst attitude you can imagine. But then hour after hour, and you know how it is, there's stuff. You know how you have to clean out the old and there's like stuff crawling on it, dirt. I mean, it's just horrible mess. But eventually, during that time, I'm a little bit creative anyway sometimes, I finally started kind of getting into this, you know? And I'd stack all the small pieces and the big pieces, and then I'd kind of undo it and redo it, and kind of got the color coordinated thing where I had the light wood going in the dark wood. And finally, it became a piece of art, you know? And this took about 2.5 days. But you know what had began to happen during that process? All of a sudden, I got kind of excited about doing this just right. I mean, I wanted it to be perfect. And all of a sudden, I don't know how this began, in the back of my mind, I began imagining my dad coming home and walking up and going, "Man, would you look at that firewood. That's the most amazing stacked firewood I've ever seen in my life. You know, just don't even use any of it. Let's just look at it all winter long. It looks so good." And slowly, what began as a grudgery, I began to get excited about. And I can remember laying in bed the night before my dad was to return thinking, "Tomorrow he's going to come home and see my firewood." As if the whole time he was away, he was thinking, "I can't wait to get back and look at that." You know, it became the biggest deal to me. And sure enough, the day came And that van pulled up, and he got out, and I remember he had his coat over his shoulder, travel bag over his shoulder, and I ran out there to meet him and went over right by the corner of the house, kind of stood there like, want to come see the firewood? And sure enough, he walked over there, he glanced around the corner, and he said, that looks really good. And he looked at me and smiled. And you know something? And he went in the house. But you know something? All the sacrifice, and all the pain, and the splinters, and the slugs, you know, all the stuff was worth it because the man whose approval I desired the most looked at my work and approved it. Now, my friend, all of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And regardless of where you are in your spiritual life today, I promise you that on that day, you will desire above everything else that the Lord Jesus look at your life and say, that looks good. Well done. And I can also assure you of this. Whatever you've been asked to sacrifice in this life, and whatever pleasure, and whatever relationship, and whatever position, all the things that you've been asked to sacrifice, on that day, what may seem like a sacrifice now, it won't seem like a sacrifice at all. Because the glory, and the honor, and the awesomeness of the Lord Jesus looking at your life, and looking at your work, and saying, well done, it looks good, it'll be worth it. But at the same time, whatever pleasure you may have chosen to hold on to, and whatever gain you may have chosen to hold on to in saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ, by saying no to His Lordship in your life, all of that will be forgotten. And there is no pleasure, and there is no benefit so great that it will overshadow the shame that you and I will feel that day if we refuse to deny ourselves daily, take up our cross and follow Him. You see, saying no to me and yes to God is the smartest thing I could do. It's the most reasonable thing I could do. It's the thing that makes the most sense. Because to refuse to is to run the risk of losing everything, of losing myself, and of forfeiting the glory of the day where the Lord Jesus would look at my work and say, that looks good. Now let me ask you, and we're finished. Is there an area in your life where God has said, I want you to do this, and you said, no, that costs too much. No, that requires too much. Lord, that would take every weekend. Lord, you know, I'm retired, and I've been looking forward to this, and I can't get involved in that. Is there an area in your life, maybe a relationship? He said, I want you to end this relationship. You say, but Lord, they're my best friends. But Lord, I've known them for so long. But Lord, I love him, I love her. And God says, I want you to get rid of that relationship. Are there things in your life where God has asked you to deny yourself and you said, no, it's too great a sacrifice? Then the question and the challenge this morning is this. In light of losing everything, in light of losing yourself, and in light of forfeiting the glory and the honor that God would like to bestow upon you, is it really that great of a sacrifice? And are you willing, before this ship docks, to say, Lord Jesus, I've decided from here on out, once and for all, to deny myself. And Lord Jesus, I've decided once and for all that every morning when I wake up, I'm going to reaffirm that. I'm going to deny myself. And Lord Jesus, I'm going to be your follower, regardless of the cost. Because you see, as Jesus so clearly explained, it's really the smartest thing. It's the most reasonable thing you could possibly do. To sum it all up, Jesus says, you can pay now, or you can pay later. And the wise man, the wise woman, is willing to make the small sacrifice now, in light of the great gain and glory that awaits us. Let's pray. Father, this is a prayer that you answer too quickly sometimes, but would you please shine that heavenly searchlight through our lives and identify that area, those areas in which we've been saying no. And Lord Jesus, would you give us the courage, the wisdom and just the common sense to quit fighting, surrender, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. Thank you for supporting that command and giving us such clear reasons to do so. Thank you that you didn't just say, do it, I'm God, because Lord, that would have been enough. Thank you for giving us this perspective on sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.